Dan Campbell took this Lions job with a vision. That vision has ignited the Lions fan base in a way not seen perhaps ever.
This is a sleeping giant. This is a sports town. And, we feel the love.
Remember who the you are!
Yeah! NFC North champion.
Everybody.
Vision, winners, back-to-back seasons.
Your team main on the prize worldwide now. Riding to your town, win, then ride out. The crew here to break it down for y'all, to demonstrate how we game playing around with y'all. The humble host with punchlines to give you a black eye. They brought a GM and OC, even a stat guy. Other teams drink the Kool-Aid, roll over and quit. I drank Campbell's soup and woke up all grit.
And we're back. This is the All Grit Podcast. Monday evening. We are so back. Chas, are we back?
And we're back.
Don't know. Did that come across?
Did that come across?
Yeah, we got it.
This is the humble host of the All Grit Podcast. Welcome in on this Monday evening, 8:14 recording. You know, we got the whole crew here today. We got the humble host. We got the OC. We got the intern, Ive, looking like Mike Valeni. We got Plax, the GM. And even the stat guy. Oh!
The whole crew's here today.
Gang.
The All Grit Podcast paying some bills today. We got so many sponsors. We got so many people to talk about. But first, we're going to get right into it. Lions, Chicago Bears. OC, give it to us.
Ah! I'm sure you guys are listening today because it feels so good. Just butter me up with a victory Monday, baby.
We all needed it. We all needed it.
Oh, we all needed it, man. I'm not going to say we all panicked last week, but we had a level of concern. We had some doubts. All right. We were panicking, but we had some doubts. Like,
I panicked.
Is this offensive line? Is this new offensive coordinator? This new defense? Like, is this all going to work? And what better test than to face your ex, Benedict Johnson? It was almost like poetic. It was ironic, the irony of it all, to put a 50 burger on him. But I'm not going to take all the space. We got guys on here that want to share it too. But man, what a game to start off the season week two.
That's right. So let's get into it. Plax. We know that your microphone is new. We want to hear that beautiful voice. We want to hear your thoughts on the Lions offense compared to last week.
Yeah, I mean, what a night and day difference a week makes. You know, last week, yeah, like Adrian said, it was concerning. You know, some people wanted to cash in, throw the whole season away already, but man, they bounced back, and that was the Detroit Lions that we've come to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of the ball, you could just tell, like, the rhythm was there, the play calling, the balance on offense with the run game, and then a heck of a game called by Shep on defense as well. So nice way to open up the homestand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always good to beat the Bears, and yeah, this feels natural. I remember what this feels like.
So there's going to be a lot of butter talked about, you know, this buttering up that last game. But I do have a question for you guys. So just speak it, you know, at will here. But were you a little worried in the first half seeing basically three turnovers that the Lions caused, whether it was turnover on downs, a fumble, then an interception, and like 0 points coming off of those three turnovers?
I liked how Ivan put it. I think it was Ivan who said we were just playing with our food out there. We weren't rewarding our defense. We were just kind of taking those turnovers for granted. And those turnovers, could have been bad. So, but it was nice to see them finally get in the rhythm. But yeah, when you get turnover, your defense is not being rewarded. It stinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first half was shaky because of that. But I'd say like that, I guess if we want to get into it, but the turning point was that Tesla
catch. 100%.
For me, like it felt like that was the turning point in the game. And then, you know, they just score that easy touchdown, that beautiful footwork route by Amon-Ra, just isolated. I think it was Tyreek Stevenson. And then, so half finishes and we're up now two scores. Like that just set it up for the second half to open the floodgates. But that first half before that catch, it was kind of like a little back and forth.
Yeah, right.
Playing with our food, flirting. Yet again, it is week two, and it was like we were kind of, I mean, I was personally frustrated because it's like, okay, we're back. Like I can see the offensive line doing what they did last year, but it's not like finishing with a touchdown. It's just getting down the field again. So took a minute.
And with that play too, the other, I think Bears were in the tunnel. So they had to call them back. They put the 6 seconds back, and I'm telling you, the old Lions would not have gotten that call.
Well, we have earned that call. The Lions would have been the ones walking down the tunnel and been told to come out and get another whooping. Yeah.
Right. So we finally earned that. We got the 6 seconds back and St. Brown baby.
Did you guys feel a little PTSD when he said 10-second runoff?
Yes.
And I was like, are you serious? Like,
took me back to Golden Tate.
Bro, I was at that game. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, but then it's funny seeing the Bears fans have to, like, literally that picture was posted all over social media, right? Of the knee down, the one hand grab, and then all Bears fans talking about the refs gave us a job this time. Like, what the heck is going on? And I'm like, bro, a job is when there's 8 seconds on the clock, and then they do a 10-second runoff. At least, you know, there was 16 seconds?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got one more play. So, but I did want to ask you guys your thoughts, and we'll start with Ivan. Our new offensive coordinator, our old offensive coordinator, were on the field together at the same time. Now, there's been so much talk about Benedict Johnson. So how do you think Johnny Moe did on his first game against Benedict Johnson?
He did stupendous. He he overaccomplished. He put up a 50 burger against Ben Johnson and that defense. So I thought it was going to be a close game as a division rival. So I was expecting at least 30 points or 20, around 20 to 30, but didn't expect 50 from Johnny Moe. But not surprised because we still have the same team from the last couple of years. So, no, it just feels so good. And definitely, you know, what we're discussing, we're definitely back.
And see, it's excellent. And that's what all the talking heads on ESPN for the last week have been saying is they're expecting, because Johnson and Glenn are gone, that the Lions are just going to forget that they're the Lions. They're going to forget how to play, and they're going to be the same old Lions.
Oh, yeah.
So, Plax, why are the Lions not the same old Lions anymore, in your opinion?
It's talent. I mean, you can't screw up talent. And I think it was just like it was just balance. I mean, early in the first half, I mean, the running game wasn't like super popping, but they weren't giving up on it. Then finally they started to, you know, Jameer was getting to the edge. They were doing way better getting push in the middle as opposed to last week against the Packers. And that's something we talked about on last week's pod is, you know, Goff with the play action, those deep crossers, you know, that's his bread and butter. And so I think they didn't totally abandon it early. They stuck with it, had just enough production to kind of loosen up the defense a little bit. And then you start seeing vintage Lions, you know, Amon-Ra, right, 9 receptions. And then Jame only had 2 catches, but they're big boys.
Yeah. So, I wanted to just throw one stat out there. You guys can take as it, if you will. For the first time in franchise history, So not Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's been our best offensive coordinator since we've all been alive. But for the first time, not even Ben Johnson did this. The Lions produced a game with, get this, 500 total net yards, 5 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. While Ben Johnson is looking at it from across.
And the camera's all in Ben Johnson's face, too, and we get to see his face.
Oh, my gosh, were they? Oh. And the crowd gave it to him a little bit. You know, yep. There may have been some choice words that were shouted. I didn't hear it, but, you know, Ivan let us know what Twitter sphere was reporting on.
But with that, like, nobody will deny what Ben Johnson did for Detroit. We all appreciate what he did for Detroit. I liked how Jerry Goff put respect on his name.
Yeah.
But just how he left. Like, I know we've talked about it many times, but, like, you should not be allowed to interview while you are preparing for a playoff game in 2 days. So it was just how he exited, and we let, you know, but what a show up by the offense just to lay it on him.
And fans are going to be fans. I expected it, you know, something like that. And I think it's just because he went to Chicago. I mean, if he went to anywhere else and came back,
he probably would have
got a standing ovation. But he went to Chicago. And for some reason, I just cannot stand Ben Johnson's face now. It's like
it's punchable face.
You and Chas. And he said the same thing. She's like, I just can't stand looking at his face now.
Because he's wearing that Chicago the Chicago merch, man. It's just
that's weird. Yeah. So not to go so well. No, we'll come back to that because we're gonna take a look around the league and just get a couple stats later on. But JJ McCarthy, we have to talk about his performance. Ex Michigan boy, we do have to mention something about him. So offensive line. What do you guys think about game one against the Packers? We were just freaking out offensive line wise. And now game two, your guys' thoughts on how week three is going to look after looking at polar opposites week one and two.
So I'm going to take it back to last year. Actually, I'm going back to last year's San Francisco game, Jared Goff. This was a welcome home, welcome back, Jared Tomas Goff game. We have not seen Jared Goff play that well since we beat San Francisco on Monday Night Football. Yeah, the next week we beat Vikings. They came to Detroit and we secured up the number one seed. But that was a Gibbs game. Like, Jared Goff had 2 interceptions that game. And then we all know how he played in the Washington game, and we know how he played in the last week. So, but that San Francisco game, he threw 303 yards with 3 touchdowns. And then yesterday he threw 334 yards and 5 touchdowns. And you don't do that without your offensive line giving you time. And my goodness, he had time. And he stepped into, like, when people came in, he moved up his slow feet, couple feet,
yes,
threw into it. Like, props to the offensive line yesterday, man. Like, they showed out.
It was night and day. Yeah. It was night and day. I appreciated that it wasn't just not just the offensive line, but through tight ends, wide receivers on their blocking assignments, they were like, it was just noticeable. It popped off the screen, the blocks that they were setting up for Monty and Gibbs to get some explosive runs. We had like 2 or 3 explosive ones, right? Like 40 yards, 20 throughout the game, which just makes the defense respect it, and it just has them on their heels. Like, it was beautiful to watch. And the reason we say, like, hey, we're back, is because we expect the Lions offense to play the way they did yesterday. Not necessarily 50 points every game, but just keeping the defense on their toes, staying unpredictable, because that was the biggest thing last week against the Packers, is the play calling was so predictable. And yesterday it was nice to watch.
Yeah.
It was a good outing by Johnny Morton there against Ben Johnson.
I feel like week one was just like a West Coast screen pass dump of a game. And it was still, they had a couple of those yesterday, Yeah. It was a little bailout plays that kind of, you know, got 1 or 2 yards, but they were so frustrating because Gibbs has to run 7 yards to get his yardage back. And then he only gains 2.
Well, once again, that goes, not to cut you off, but that goes back to who you played. I mean, Green Bay's defensive line caused that. And so looking forward to Thanksgiving, Lions are definitely going to have to go to the
drawing board.
Drawing board with Micah Parsons. I mean, everyone says that, right? But it's like, I mean, Brock Wright or Laporta needs to be on whatever side he lines up and just the dude is a wrecking ball. I mean, I don't like to give him the credit because I don't like to see the Packers happy and you know, oh my God, the savior. Like, but the dude is a wrecking ball, man. Compared him to Hutchinson, I'm like waiting for Hutch to have that type of energy, to have that type of push, and he just does not have it this year. He's got 1 sack. But his motor is not like it was last year, and it's sad. It's the leg. It's just
I think it's just not, there's a fear too, right? You break a leg like that, you're just kind of got to be in your back of your mind for a little bit.
Right. And we got to give him time, but he's not there yet.
Right. But he did jump over a lineman yesterday or a cornerback or somebody. I saw him. There's a highlight on Twitter, him jumping over somebody.
and then he got what, clipped or what do they call him when two guys hit at the same time?
Yeah. And that leg got his leg got rolled up on. Oh, just scary, man. I think after that too, he kind of
favored it back off.
Let me just
go ahead, Plax. I saw you.
At least we got Davenport to to pick up the slacks. We all did, right?
Okay, thank you. Let's do this because I have been waiting all day to get into some Davenport. Thank you for bringing it up, Plax. I wish I could have pulled the audio because I'm pretty sure about 4 weeks ago I said Davenport over under on what? Week three.
Yeah.
How many games he's going to play. And he's out, boys. I mean, Dan Campbell did not sound good. As soon as he went down. Yeah. That was Dan Campbell when asked, how soon is he going to be returning?
And Davenport won't answer any questions. He's like, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we have to talk to another. What do you say? We have to talk to get some more, like almost like a double.
Yeah.
A second opinion, I should say, like his injury.
I didn't
And I'm like, dude, seriously?
Yeah. Immediately after that sack, take me out. I'm done. I'm out.
Bro.
But
how many times
meanwhile,
was he getting attended to? Well, like 3 or 4 times?
He got injured sacking somebody. Like, what is that? Like,
so did Hutch, but down, this dude.
We just took out Vildor and inputted Davenport. He's the new
put him at corner.
A new guy to just hate for no reason.
Bro, I heard somebody say about Davenport, just put him at kick returner so we can just end it. Like, just tear the Band-Aid off so he can just get pummeled back.
That's funny.
The starting lineup for the Detroit Lions: Hutchinson, Ty Leak, we got Reader, and insert Muhammad into the lineup moving forward. Actually, you know what? Maybe this is a gift in a curse, or you know, we got to look.
Muhammad looks serviceable.
Muhammad, bro,
he's gotten better.
He was in there. He was getting pressure.
Didn't he get a sack or no?
He at least got a hit.
Help much? I think maybe half or maybe
he was. Half. Yeah, pressure. Yeah, by that. Okay.
But he's playing pretty well.
He's just not. He can't stop the run like Davenport can, apparently. But
I mean, he doesn't have the big body.
It's nice to know that Za'Darius Smith is still on. We can sign him and get him back in.
Oh, wait.
And Clowney, too. Oh. Clowney is signed.
Oh, wait. Other GMs that know how to win a Super Bowl already picked them up.
That want to win now.
Right.
Okay. Well, now that we're talking about this, Joey Burrow. Pretty much out for the season. Bengals are pretty much done. Will Trey Hendrickson
be actually in baby.
I want to go to that game now. I was already wanting to go to the Cincinnati game. Now I definitely want to go.
Who's their backup? Browning?
Yeah.
Jake Browning.
Yep. Which he was pretty good a couple years ago.
Well, that's a dub. That's another That's W. Another one.
Oh, I like the drop. We got to add some new drops to the board, and that's a beaut. All right. I wanted to circle back to Vanilla Vic real quick. So Clay mentioned this, and I want to get your guys' input on it. Week one, he couldn't do anything right, didn't have time. Week two, it's almost like a whole season difference. It's not a week to week. You don't expect to see that in a week, the amount of improvements that we saw. You expect that from beginning right? to end of season.
Yeah.
Week two, Goff could do no wrong. There was pressure, and you saw it in his face, and mm-hmm. he felt the pressure, and he got out of there. And just now, that one ugly duck to JMO that got about 40 yards. I mean, it was a duck in the air. However,
he was running from pressure.
Yeah. Right, he ran out of pressure. Would have been a sack, but he got it out. So, kudos to Goff, man. He looked fantastic yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did great.
It's almost like last week was a preseason game. Because they didn't give Goff any preseason time.
Yeah.
I don't know whose fault is that.
Right, exactly. And just frustrating. Like, dude, at least, like, get some cobwebs off from the winter, man. I know we can't get him hurt, but you got to get some cobwebs off.
Might be like a drive or two.
Yeah. Go ahead, Waterboy. You got something for us?
No, I just wanted to mention that he did a better job. That pass that he passed to Tesla, I was watching some of film earlier today, but yeah, I noticed how he was what's the word? I just lost it. He was stalling one of the safeties when that pass he hit to Tesla. So looking at the play, we already knew that ball was going to Isaac Tesla. He kind of like faked it to Amon-Ra St. Brown, but it was just cool to see. For me, he was my MVP of the game. Him and Deion Branch were one of my favorites.
Deion.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the.
Yeah, that's the all day long, man.
Yeah. Deion Branch. Was he a Pro Bowl wide receiver and then he turned into a safety now in the Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah, a receiver from a decade ago.
That guy. Bro, they corrected him too. It's like, oh, his name's Brian Branch, by the way.
Oh, like, they did. Deion Branch. They corrected him on air?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I must have been singing one of our touchdown celebrations. Whoa, whoa, during. You know how we do. All right.
I was going to say, but go ahead. Goes to show, go back to, you know, the quarterback documentary. Like there's no other quarterback I want right now than, you know, Jared Goff. It's just the brains of that whole offense right now.
Man.
And it just shows 5 touchdowns, and he had a 156 passer rating, almost a perfect passer rating.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. I was listening to something today, and I want to get your guys' opinion. I'm going to ask you a question, think the whole league, and say, who would you want? Name me, gun to your head, if you had to choose a quarterback and a wide receiver, a duo that you would pick over the camaraderie that Jared Goff and St. Brown have. You can't do it. Try.
Well, with a healthy Burrow and Chase.
Oh, yeah.
But
just doing camaraderie? Keyword being
he's like, out, bro.
Yeah. I know, but if perfect scenario or.
Right? No, I'm talking right now, season.
Okay. Oh, right
today,
now.
Like today, starting a team right now.
Yeah, like, would you take Dak and CD? I wouldn't.
No.
They don't have the and that's why I mean the camaraderie. If you break down that play, the one where right before the half, right, where St. Brown just goes to the end zone, takes that little hard right and just sits. They said that they knew they did not talk about which side he was going to sit on. They communicated that without communicating it, judging by the defensive look. Mm-hmm. So Goff threw the ball before Amon-Ra was out of his break.
Anticipated.
Yeah. And it just sat in his lap. Like that's this kind of stuff that I'm saying. Like, yeah, Dak and CD, they're great together. But like, do they have that type of relationship?
Like a Brady and Gronk chemistry. Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't think it's just it's not a quarterback wide receiver relationship. It's the entire offense. Like Brock Wright's out here getting touchdowns and Laporta's ran in from the other end of the end zone and giving him a huge hug. There's no selfishness on the team. No, I didn't get the ball. I was open.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a very unique and special group of guys. It's just special, man. They're all in sync.
I love it. I love it when they're in sync, bro. When they're in sync, they're unstoppable. Like mm-hmm. the way they were playing yesterday in the flow.
Like
it's beautiful to watch.
Last week, it looked like they didn't want to go through the motions of a season, like to get to the playoffs. Like they just want the playoffs to be here. But yesterday, they looked like, all right, guys, we have it's time. We have to get
there. Loss was like the best thing that could have happened to us for the rest of the season because that did light a fire in them. They were listening to what everybody was saying, all the
doubters, man,
all the hate, like that fueled them. So maybe they just need a fuel, like to be able to play their best.
And what Dan said in his post game rah 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 speech, he listened to everything people were saying. Like he knew, he was listening to it all week.
Yeah,
I was going to say, the talent level between Green Bay and Chicago, I think, is pretty drastic. But even playing a lesser team like Chicago, which I mean, they got talent too. They got a pretty good defensive line and everything, but that wasn't just, hey, we're just so much better than them. We're just going to show up and just, you know, beat them. I mean, you can't, even if we were playing the worst team in the league, you know, the Lions were just on point. You could tell it was such a different team, a different jump from week one to week two. So even though it was Chicago and they may, you know, end up with 4 or 5 wins and suck mightily, which hopefully they will, it was still you could tell adjustments were made, mindsets were adjusted, and you know, you can't really be mad or take anything away from Detroit on that performance.
And you saw two different things. You saw Dan Campbell still having a locker room after last week, and you saw Ben Johnson, who has no locker room.
That is true.
The dude is lame, bro. He's not, I mean, he's a genius, but
he's a square.
He's not a leader of men.
And he doesn't know how to talk.
He's a square. L7
Did you guys see the question he got asked if Dan Campbell ran up the score?
Yeah.
I got the audio. Let's listen.
That was funny.
Do you believe Dan Campbell ran it up on you on that 4th and 4 goal?
What's he supposed to do? Is 4th and goal, what do you want him to do? Yeah, he could have kicked the field goal. They don't kick field goals. They go for it there. So he was doing what he was supposed to do. That's what he does.
How demoralizing is this loss, considering you were coming back, you left for Chicago?
It's not demoralizing at all. It's not demoralizing at all. We got to play better.
Ooh. Little touchy there, Benny.
Wow.
A little testy.
I love it. He's like, that's how they do it. He used to say, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Right? Right.
And this is his first time he's got to say they because he's on the other side. And man, I was even wondering.
They went 4th down multiple.
Yeah, times. But I mean, but they were up 48. They were up 45 or something, and they still went forward on 4th.
No. Bears went on 4th down a couple times, and they had horrible play calls.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like inside their own, on their own side of the field. Horrible play calls.
Oh, yeah, on the 40 yard line, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, when we I want to get your guys' opinion of our defense as soon as we come back off of this sponsor. Is that all right? You guys can think about a defensive player or in general what we think.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dan Diamond Equipment, a used fork truck dealing company located in Hastings, Michigan. They sell and rent fork trucks and die handlers. With over 30 years of experience, don't hesitate to call Dan Diamond Equipment for all of your fork truck needs. Reach out to Dan at 269-948-3377. Again, the number for Dan Diamond Equipment, 269-948-3377.
All right, so I want you guys to think about the defensive show that you saw, only allowing 21 points. Who stood out to you the most? And let's start with...
I want to go first. He's already got in mind.
Sorry. Ivan's jumping up and down. Go ahead.
Rookie Tyreek Williams. He had two batted throw. What is it? Yeah. Throws from Caleb Williams. And they came at a vital time. Well, vital down. I think it was like a 3rd or 4th down. He blocked 2 of them. Or if not. Yep. Yeah, but they came in clutch because this was, I believe, by third or fourth quarter where we were still pounding the ball to get points, but they could have came back. Yeah. But he was one of them. Then, of course, Deion Branch, but that was
the other guy. Oh, okay.
I'll stop.
He was Tyleek Williams is out there going. Oh wait, he goes back to throw.
But it goes to show, like, his IQ is getting better with the game. You know,
I'll be honest with you, bro. When I was watching, okay, so I didn't know this dude from Adam, right? We drafted him. I went back and watched all his Ohio State film, and what did I tell you guys? I think it's on the pod. I'd have to go back. I said, what's an underrated part of his game? Because he's not a pure pressure guy. He's a run stuffer, but he can pressure the quarterback. But I said, this dude bats down balls.
Hey, yo!
Two of them right there. Let's go. Go ahead, Plax. What you got?
Yeah, that was going to be mine, Tyleek. I thought he played well. He didn't register any tackles, but he was stuffing the run. And I think back to when Ohio State blew out Oregon last year in the playoffs, it was like nonstop. He was batting balls down. So he's got that good, you know, sixth sense with that. I mean, I think it was a classic Brian Branch game. He was physical. Yeah. He was active. DJ Reed, though, he was solid, man. He saved a few big plays, arm tackles. I thought he played really well one-on-one. I focused on him a lot more this week. So I'll go with DJ Reed. I thought he really showcased, you know, his talent. And, you know, we talked a lot about him being kind of a zone guy when he came over, but he made several one-on-one tackles, and I thought he played well.
Mm-hmm. Clay, what about you? You got a defensive
I'm gonna go with Kirby, man. Like, and just how many times, even in the last, I mean, us against running quarterbacks, our history against running quarterbacks is not great. Caleb Williams will get away from you. He got away from Minnesota a couple times last week when he should have been wrapped up. That's one thing I'll give him. He can get out of situations. And he did. He got out of that situation, and he threw the ball up. He tried to throw it out of bounds, or he tried to hit that wide receiver, and he overthrew him by 30 yards right into Kirby Joseph's hands. But it was a prime example of being there at the right time, but he was there, and he caught it, and he didn't, you know. That was a huge – just that momentum from that point.
Yeah. Bro, the celebration he had, like, ready to go.
Right.
And he did it on, like, the Bears sideline, too. I was surprised he didn't get taunting or anything.
Man, there's a couple of them. I'm like, ooh.
So, Adrian, go ahead and explain that interception celebration for our listeners that maybe.
Yeah, so I wish they would have showed it more on the broadcast on TV, but it's all over social media. Kirby Joseph had a celebration ready with his defense. They basically played out the stumble bum play that Ben Johnson created when they played in Chicago last year. So Kirby Joseph recreated it. He like snapped the ball like he was a quarterback and act like he tripped, and then he threw the ball to Meek Robertson for a touchdown. That was a celebration in front of the Bears sideline. I think that I'm sure got into the Chicago's dude players' heads, and I'm sure Ben saw that too. Just irate.
was that the best troll job of the NFL this year?
It was pretty detailed. It was great.
Or was it giving him props like, hey bro, we remember you?
No, this it was troll. 100%. 100%.
Nice. All right. Listen, we got a
branch yet?
Well, I was sitting on that, but everyone's
I think we were avoiding, but dude, Brian Branch was just playing like a missile, man. He brings the energy. He got that fumble on Swift with that just crazy hit. He had a sack. The pressure, bro. Quarterback roughing the passer. That was such a weak call.
Oh, weak.
That was such a weak call because he's in the air. Like, he wasn't even trying to tackle him. He was trying to get the ball. He tips it, and then he lands on Caleb, and they call that.
That was another pick taken away. That would have been Terrion's
first. And was hurt by it. So,
yeah,
that would have been Terrion's first interception of his career. Correct.
Right. Yep. Yep, that would have been the first one. And he had a, and Terion had a, another one that was almost his. So
yeah,
he's flirting with his first one. I think it might come soon.
He just can't land but, on it.
Yeah, Brian Branch was everywhere, man. He's a menace.
And shout out to his hamstring for holding strong. He got a little cramped at the end, so thank you to his hamstring for being intact.
We were sweating bullets.
Yeah.
You guys want to recap?
The defense had the place rocking, man. Just like it kept us the energy in the game. The defense was awesome, outstanding. It's what we needed.
Agreed. Bring the juice. Agreed. And I was gonna agree with Brian Branch. Just ridiculous. He's gonna be a Pro Bowl selection, if not All Pro. Safety. I mean, he's just doing awesome. So we just got to keep this defense up for next week. We're going to talk Baltimore more, but definitely have to keep that up with him moving forward. Yeah. I want to kind of hit the bold takes from last week, see if we have any winners and see if anybody's going to be added to the list. So if you want to get the Sounders ready for that. Nice. So let's see. Let's start with who got their thoughts in earlier in the week. Because they weren't on the crossover. We had Plax and Ivan. Plax said, "Boy, these running backs, we're gonna get over 115 yards."
Pour it up.
I'm waiting for my Sounder.
Another one.
177 rushing yards. Plax is on the board, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got a
first career hot take.
Hey, that was a good take because I was not like expecting them to do that this week.
But we only give you that now, Plax, because 115 yards is not going to be bold for next week.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
No,
because of Green Bay and we got scared. Yeah. All right, Ivan. Now get this, boys. Ivan says Monty's going to score a touchdown and J-Mo's going to score a touchdown. And Plax said, "Nah, bro, that ain't bold enough. Like 115 yards is bold." But anyway, he says J-Mo needs more than just a touchdown. And so Ivan doubles down. He goes, "All right, a 40-yard touchdown."
That's right. You did say that.
I did. I hit my parlay. It was perfect. Did I?
Dude,
I just said two players, correct?
That's all you had. Yep.
I thought I had.
And okay. So you made it by 4 yards. Monty had his touchdown, and J-Mo had a 44-yard touchdown. You were 4 yards away from missing that. So great job, great job. That's what we do on the All Grit Podcast, man. We drop bold takes. All right, another bold take. Adrian's going to take that bold take and really, really pull a Plax on us. He says, "All right, Tesla's going to go 40 yards.
Y'all said it wasn't bold. Apparently, it still is bold.
It's not bold, bro.
He has yet to get more than 30 yards in a game. But also, he has yet to use his left hand. I don't know if he knows. The guy has two hands. Only catches with one hand. It's like, bro, you know you can catch with two hands. Like, stop making so many highlight plays.
Quarter of the night, right there.
So my bold take is this next game, he's going to catch with two hands.
Oh, snap. That's bold.
That's bold, bro. I don't know if you can do that, bro.
What's he going to do, Adrian?
This next game, Isaac Deslaw will catch a pass with two hands. You heard it here first.
Hey, yo,
that's bold. Anyways, so yeah, you missed it. He got 29 yards off of one catch, so that is a
it's crazy to think that he just with one catch, just one catch, he just does that.
Well, you know what, if not, I shouldn't say this, but as much as I like Raymond, because he is fast too, but like, let's just put Tesla in, dude. What else does he have to do? Just put him in there.
Well, he was in the two-minute offense, which told me several things.
Yeah, it says a lot.
Right? And by the way, we didn't talk about it, but I loved what we did on that two-minute offense. As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm feeling so much better. This is the two-minute offense we did in the first half. That's what I've been looking for.
What I realized too, they're using him more once they get to the like red zone. They're using him. Like he's been in a couple plays. Like that was the only ball that was thrown to him, but other situations he was still in the red zone area. So because of his height, they're using him.
Right. I was actually surprised that after he made that awesome catch and then they had 6 seconds left, that they didn't go back to him in the corner of the end zone on jump ball. Like that's what I was hoping. Mm-hmm. But they went to St. Brown on their money, not gonna say it. Anyways. All right, next. Caleb or Clay? Who's C? This is Clay. Clay said 2 running touchdowns for Demo and a Branch turnover. Branch got his turnover. Demo got 1. But Demo didn't get 2. Sorry, bro. Sorry.
He almost had it. He had that 2 yards, but he couldn't pick it up. Like, yeah.
And then Karsten, our Bears fan, he said Loveland's going to get 1 touchdown. And let's check the stat board.
Did he even get thrown to?
He did. And then Johnson is going to get his first interception of the year.
Also, my bad. I was going to say that I don't know if you guys got an Amber Alert at the end of the Lions-Bears game, but there's an Amber Alert. Colson Loveland is just missing. They don't know where he is. Nobody knows where he is.
You leave those jokes for the humble host, bro.
Your first round pick didn't even have a catch.
I will say that's funnier than St. Brown faking a hammy injury because that got me and I was sick.
Bro, I knew he was kidding. The way you ran up, like that was a celebration.
I was like, no.
And let's see. Bro, how weird is it that our first round pick, Tyreek Williams, had more hands on balls than Tesla?
Hey, yo!
And he had more hands on balls than Loveland combined.
Hey, yo! Right? Loveland.
Oh, Tyreek's out there palming 2 of them. And these guys got 1 catch between the 2 of them.
Yeah, that was huge, man. I'd love it if he can just keep doing that all season. Great stuff. More of that.
Anyway, I said my bold take was interceptions. Goff and Williams would throw 1.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm glad. I'm so glad that did not hit. So yeah. that's what you got to do. You got to bet against yourself on these bold takes. All right. So moving forward, just so the listeners know and you guys, Adrian, you're on the bold take board with 0.5 point.
Yep.
For your last week's take, I have 0. Plax is on with 1. Ivan 1. Clay 0. Is that where we're at, boys?
Yep.
I didn't mess you up, did I, Clay?
Good job.
No, boys. But Goff threw a pass, so man, that was my.
Didn't complete it.
All right, so let's do a 5-minute just to end it. 5-minute thing about the upcoming game, Baltimore.
We do got the speak pipe too from the guest that was at the game.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Let's go back to that.
So we had our boy Diego. He was at the game. He sent a speak pipe in. Just want to know what the vibes were, how the crowd welcomed Ben Johnson, and his prediction for the Ravens game.
Appreciate it. There's going to be some conversations about.
Wrong one. Here we go.
The vibes on Sunday against the Bears in Detroit was just crazy. The fans showed out. It was a loud atmosphere, and it was just a very electrifying experience. Nothing like I've ever experienced before. It was just crazy. That's the only word I could really think of to describe the experience and the vibes. When Ben Johnson walked out on the field, everyone in Detroit was letting it known to him that they didn't respect his decision when it comes to becoming the new head coach to a division rival. They were booing him, and then later on in the game, they started chanting some not so nice things. I'm sure I can't repeat what they were saying, but they really let it known to Ben Johnson that, you know, they don't like him anymore. And then the touchdown right before halftime was crazy. It was Jared Goff, St. Brown. I think there was like 4 seconds left on the clock, and we scored a touchdown. It was a great way to close out the first half of the game, and it was just an amazing play And the play before that, it was the Isaac Tesla one-handed grab. So everyone was already on their feet after that grab right there. And then right after that is when we scored the touchdown. So it was just an amazing sequence of events. And then my favorite touchdown from Sunday has to be Jared Goff and J-Mo for that big yard touchdown. To see those two connect again, it was very nice to see. And hopefully we see more of that throughout the season. My prediction for Lions and Ravens, the Ravens are a good team. I feel like, you know, they have an advantage, especially since they're at home. But we're coming off of a big scoring game. I feel like we have some momentum going. So I'm going to say Lions take the W, and I predict 28-21.
Oh!
You had us the whole time, Diego, and then you had to say something like that. Yeah.
Maybe he saw something we didn't. I don't know.
I bet he did.
He was there. Bro, I want to believe. If I had one more game to like base this off of,
right,
probably give us a win. But Baltimore looks good. Baltimore looks really good.
Who has Baltimore beat? Who was their first two opponents?
Well,
they fumbled against the Bills.
Oh, they lost to the Bills. That's right.
Yeah, and then they had Cleveland.
Yeah. So, bro, they beat Cleveland handily, or just like
41-17. Yeah.
Okay, so they pounded them too.
Yeah,
they're good. That's like, yeah, they should be 2-0. Bills pulled out a miraculous.
But then we get Browns right after Ravens too, so we get a little rebound after that too. So
yeah.
No, and like Adrian said, it's gonna be interesting. I wish we had a Browns game before we play Baltimore for sure, just to get one more offensive line game. But Ravens defense is really good. Their offense is sick, and we have a horrible time with running quarterbacks. So I don't know what we're gonna do. Keep them in
come
the
out,
pocket.
Come out healthy. Come out. Don't get banged up in this game. Don't get.
Yeah, look, they also have a great defensive line.
I think it's their scheme, man. We have a hard time with their defensive scheme. I know we did a couple years ago. We just got blown out. But
yeah, that was a snoozer. That was a bad game.
That was 21-0 in the first quarter, and I went back down to the swim up ball.
If we beat the Ravens, I'm chugging Kool-Aid.
Yep.
I'm chugging Kool-Aid.
Where were you at during that game, Caleb? Were you on vacation?
I was Cancun, yeah. That game was not worth my absence from the swim up bar. So, yeah. Flax, last thought on the upcoming game.
Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. We should get together.
Just as quickly as I went from the basement to the heavens after week one to week two, I think we're going to be right back to a little bit of humble pie. It's just hard to see. It's hard to see a lot of success in Baltimore. I think the run defense, I think we're not going to have a whole lot of success running. And we have got to get off the field on defense. And, you know, Lamar, he's killed us in the past. But, I mean, this is how it's going to be all year. Our schedule is a gauntlet. But it's hard to see us going out there and outplaying them for four quarters. So I think it might be Baltimore, like a 34-17.
I want to see a better effort in this upcoming game than they'd had against the Packers. Is if they show at least some effort, and I don't know, if similar to how the Ravens lost against the Bills, that'd be a little tragic. But if we can be at the same level of competition, I'd feel better.
Give me your prediction, Ivan.
I don't know. This is going to be tough. I want the Lions to win, but I expect the Ravens to.
You do?
Yeah. Can I give two scores? Dang.
No.
I'll come back to you, Clay. What? Oh. There's actually like a game going on right now. What? Can you give us a live score read? I don't have to check it out. All right. So well, Clay,
he's doing that. Oh,
I'm gonna say Baltimore 31, Lions 21.
31-21.
I was about to say 30-20, so at least a 10-point difference. I'd say the spread by a touchdown. So
what is the opening spread right now? Can someone pull that up for next week? That's actually a
last I checked, Ravens are 6.5 favorite.
I'd say 30-24. Keep it at that.
You're saying 24 then? Oh, so you're changing. Okay.
Yeah, 30-24.
All right, I got those three. I need Adrian and me.
I think Ravens 35-28. Touchdown.
You think they're going to put 35 on our defense, bro?
Be happy it's hard to stop Lamar, and we've always had a tough problem with mobile quarterbacks.
All right, a lot of high-scoring games. Okay, choices there. So I'm going to say it's going to be a lower scoring game because I feel like the Lions defense is real. And I think they're just going to get better. And I think they're going to actually, they're going to pick off. I'll hold that for the bold take, but I'm actually going to say it's going to be in the 20s. I'm going to say 28-24 Ravens.
Okay. Another thing about it, the only way we win is I think we have Gibbs go off. That's the only way. I think that's just our bread and butter right now. I guess we'll put that near the Ravens.
It's not Jared Goff throwing five touchdowns?
I don't see him throwing five. Just with that defense. With the pressure is, but also with
just get out healthy, man.
Yeah, their safeties, the Ravens safeties. I really think it's just on the ground, though. That's how we beat them, through the running game.
All right, let's do some bold take versus the Ravens. Let's start with Adrian. Does not have to be a score prediction. Just give me something bold. Hey,
Terrion Arnold finally gets his first career interception on Lamar.
What? Jackson. That might be the boldest thing of the year, bro.
He doesn't throw many interceptions, but I just kind of have a feeling that he might get his first one.
Dang.
It'll be like a batted pass or something. It won't be like a direct interception.
It won't because of skill. It'll be because of chance.
No, he's always in good. I think he's in a good position most of the time. But it'll be something along the lines of that, like a batted
pass. All right, Clay, you're next. What's your bold take? You got it. Me and you got to get on the board here, bro.
I know. Lamar Jackson runs for at least 75 yards plus.
No.
I hope you're wrong, bro.
All right, let's go.
I hope I'm wrong too, but I know my history. It's not good.
Clay. All right, Ivan.
I'd say.
Can you do it shortly?
Gibbs with two and over touchdowns.
What?
I'd say Gibbs with three touchdowns. Yes.
If that there he goes, Plax. He's going off, Plax.
Get this guy out of here. Another one. I swear to God. Remember last year, the bold take, he's like, and J-Mo's going to get two touchdowns, and then Gabe gets three, and then Demo gets four.
Another one. He was actually close on that one. That was against Dallas.
Yeah,
you're right. He was close, and then he was scarily close.
We just had to net like 84 points in order for his bold take to hit.
Well, it's possible with just this last game, as you noticed.
I hope you're right.
Every star is getting feed. Yeah, everyone's getting rewarded. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. You don't deserve that laughter. I'm sorry.
I'm saying if Gibbs have three touchdowns, I think that's how we win the game.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And by me not hitting mine. If I don't hit mine, I think we win the game.
What's yours? Oh, yeah, 75 yards. Okay. All right, Plax.
Khalif Raymond.
Wait. Let's stop you there. I want another tight end from
It's a Zylstra pick. It's a Zylstra.
Yeah.
Khalif Raymond nets 60-plus return yards.
Ooh.
I like it.
I wanted to say a touchdown. I'm not going to go.
Wait a minute.
I think
I don't know if that's bold, bro. I got to look up his stat. Does someone have his stats?
65 yards. That is bold, bro.
Who else? Especially with this new kickoff situation, with a new kickoff situation, I say that's bold.
Punt returns.
He's mostly okay.
He only got 19.
Oh, true.
That's off. No, it's bold. 60 plus yards off punt returns.
And and by him returning punts, that means we're stopping him.
If he can get us some good field position, that's going to be key. So I think he's, you know, Khalif will pop out from time to time. So that's the type of stuff you got to have on the road against a team of that caliber. So let's get it.
I like it. He only had 19 yards yesterday. So if tripling his output, yeah, that's pretty bold, especially against a good team. All right, let's go bold take. Lions win.
I like it.
By how much? Bold.
Another one. I think Lions win. I think that's bold enough.
That's bold. I mean, we all picked the Lions to lose, so I think that's a bold take.
Yeah, I'll take it.
By how much? Like
one?
A possession?
No, if anything, it'll be by a point or two. Like it's going to be their team is better. So like if we win, it's not going to be a blowout like this. It's unless Hutch suplexes him, breaks his neck, and we can go on to win easily.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I got. So we got our bold takes. We got our predictions. We're good to go. Boys, thank you so much for joining us. And you, listeners, thank you so much for joining the All Grit Podcast. We have such a wonderful time talking Lions football. And we hope that you guys enjoy our tomfoolery. We got the GM. We got the stat guy, the intern, the OC, the humble host. We're the All Grit Podcast. Come see us soon. We're out.